Mark 5 and verse number 22. Amen. We're just going to do our best to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost and just have church tonight. Amen. I'm believing have an apostolic Pentecostal church. Praise God. Just like the book of Acts. If you came tonight needing something from the Lord, you don't have to leave here empty-handed. It doesn't matter if you're brand new to the church, brand new to living for God, or if you've lived for God all your life. If you have a need tonight, there's no need leaving without having that need met. Praise God. I just believe that God wants to do that. I really believe that every time we come to the house of God, God's looking for an opportunity to help somebody, to do something for somebody. Praise God. Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. Anybody ever been there? Suffered some things from some doctors. Amen. I've been there. And had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Now, that's pretty absolute there. She suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered. Listen to the words here. Nothing bettered, spent all she had, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. I come to preach tonight. I came on purpose. I came on purpose. Anybody come on purpose tonight? Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us over the next few moments. Lord, we need you. We love you. We thank you for the privilege, the opportunity to be in the house of God tonight. God, I need your anointing and your grace right now to deliver the word of the Lord. Help me, Jesus. God, we need you, Lord. Speak to us. Touch our hearts, our minds, our spirits tonight, God. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, to be encouraged and strengthened and helped by your word tonight. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. I give you honor. I give you glory tonight. Have your way in this house in the name of Jesus. Lord, if you don't help us, oh God, nothing good will happen, Lord, in this place. But if you'll touch us tonight, if you'll help us tonight, if the anointing of the Holy Ghost will rest upon us tonight, God. Oh, we love you. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Somebody praise him right now. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. This is a very, very familiar setting of scriptures, probably to most of us. We call it the lady with the issue of blood, this story. No doubt you've heard it preached from many times. Amen. If you've been in church any amount of time at all, you've heard this story preached on. Amen. I believe, though, amen, that this Bible is the only thing we've got to preach from. Amen. And it never gets old. It never gets old. Praise God. Amen. Our scripture text tells us of a day when Jesus was traveling down the road. And unfortunately, back then, they didn't have automobiles, didn't have trains, they didn't have the transportation means that we have today. We just traveled, started driving from Durango, Colorado, and we didn't kill ourselves this time. It felt like we did, but we stopped last night in Dodge City. Amen. And spent the night and drove on in today. But such a trip in those days. I wonder how long it would have taken. Amen. 500 miles. Amen. To go the way that they traveled back then. So, amen. Jesus was walking down the road headed, amen, to this gentleman's house because someone came needing a miracle. Amen. This ruler of the synagogue, this, amen, Jewish ruler came to him beseeching him to come to heal his daughter because she was about to die. And, amen, Jesus was their only hope, and Jesus is still the only hope, amen, for the world today. Praise God. There's a lot of people looking at a lot of things and searching. Amen. Just before church, a cousin of mine texted me. I haven't talked to in a long, long time, and texted me about something, wanted to discuss something. He's trying to fit in. He thinks he's a part of some group now and wanted to talk to me about it. I need to be enlightened. And, amen, I didn't have time. I didn't have time, but I wanted to message him back or call him and say, as long as you keep out of the church. He grew up this way. He knows what's the truth. As long as you stay away from the house of God and living for God, you're always going to be looking for somewhere to fit in. You're always going to be looking for the answer. You're never going to find the answer, and you're never going to fit in anywhere until you get right with God. Get full of the Holy Ghost. And so, amen, Jesus was going to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. And the Bible says that many people thronged him. It was a crowd. I don't know about you, but I hate being in crowds where it's shoulder to shoulder. I'm not claustrophobic, but if you put me there very long, I can get claustrophobic. And that's the way that it was. They were shoulder to shoulder thronging around Jesus. But who wouldn't want to be around somebody that can just speak a word and sickness leaves immediately? Who wouldn't want to be around somebody that can just walk out on the troubled waves of a stormy sea and just say, peace be still and everything's all right in a moment's time? Who wouldn't want to be around somebody that can speak to the dead and they get up off of, amen, the bed? Praise God. Who wouldn't want to be around somebody, amen, that can speak to, amen, tormented souls and the devil has to flee? And so everywhere that Jesus went, that's what happened. The crowds found him. They followed him. So much so that the Bible says that oftentimes, amen, he would have to leave. He would have to go, amen, out into the wilderness somewhere or a mountain to get away to, amen, recuperate and pray and gain his strength back again because the crowds were always there following him. And it was this way this day. There were so many there, but, you know, I really feel like most of them there were not there on purpose. They just happened to be standing outside when Jesus walked by, and they said, there goes Jesus. Let's go tag along and see what's happening. Some of them were standing there when Jairus came running up and kneeled down and said, my daughter's at death's door, and would you come and would you heal her? And they heard that, and they said, we want to go see a miracle happen. We want to go see this girl get healed. And so they began following, and people just began, amen, coming from here and there. And, amen, they didn't get up that morning and say, I'm going to go find Jesus, and, amen, that's my plans for the day. But they got caught up in the moment, and they got caught up in the crowd, and here they were, amen, and they became part of this crowd walking down the road. But there was somebody that wasn't just on the sidelines wondering what was happening and who this man was. There was somebody that got up that morning and said, I'm going to find Jesus today. There was somebody that went to bed the night before saying, tomorrow is my opportunity. Tomorrow, amen, is my day. I have tried everything that I can to help me in my problem, in my situation in life. Amen. The Bible says 12 long years she had suffered this way. Amen. Losing her life's blood. She was so weak, no doubt, and so anemic. I don't even know how she made it 12 years without blood transfusions that we have today, amen, for those kinds of problems. But she had lived 12 years losing her life's, amen, source. And here she was, amen. She had tried everything she could think of. Bible says she spent everything that she had. Amen. When it first started, maybe she thought, no big deal. It'll be over with in a few days and I'll be all right. But a few days passed and weeks, amen, eventually came and gone. And here she is and is nothing better. She began searching for doctors to help her. Amen. She went to one and he didn't help her. She went to another one and, amen, what he tried didn't work. Eventually, probably her friends and family began telling her, well, I heard about a doctor over here. Anybody know what that's like? There's a doctor over here about 600 miles away. If you'll just, amen, fly up, amen, to the Mayo Clinic somewhere, amen, they'll get you fixed up. And so she went. She took her checkbook with her and she went. And she spent, after 12 years, every last dime that she had on many, many, many physicians. I don't know what all they had her do, but the Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians. She went through a lot trying to get better. I'm going to tell you, amen, you'll do a lot to try to better yourself. I don't hardly know of anybody that'll just sit around and not do anything. Amen, when they're sick, when something's going on, amen, when trouble's happening, you're going to try to find the answer. You're going to try to get better. You're going to try to get well. And so, amen, she went here and she went there and she spent so much that she had nothing left and was nothing bettered at all. Matter of fact, the Bible says she was worse. And she realized, if I don't do something drastic, I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. I can't keep going. Anybody ever been in that place before? I just can't keep going this way. I cannot keep going like this. I cannot make it. I'm going to go crazy. Something drastic's got to happen. I've got to have a change. I just can't keep doing this another day. I can't go another week like this. Well, praise God. So, amen, the Bible says, I don't know how it happened, but somehow she heard of this man named Jesus, and she heard how he, amen, just touched the blinded eyes and they were open. She heard how he spoke to the lame man, and the lame man, amen, that had never walked in his life, got up out of his bed immediately and began walking for the very first time. She heard about, amen, the deaf hearing. And on and on and on. And she said, tomorrow, I got to go find Jesus. Amen. Whatever I've got to do. Well, praise God. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Whatever I've got to do, I've got to get to Jesus. And if I can just get close enough to him. You got to understand, this had never happened before like this at all. She didn't have a scripture to look to and say, somebody else did this, now I can do it. But she said within herself, if I can just get close enough to reach out and touch the hem. Yes. Yes, just the border of his garment, if I can get that close. And just reach out and touch the border of his garment, the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. I'm talking about faith. You got to have faith if you're going to, amen, get what you need from God. You got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you, amen, at the beginning that God's looking for an opportunity to touch somebody, to heal somebody, to help somebody, to speak peace in somebody's life. Amen. God's looking, amen, to work a miracle for somebody. That's what he's doing. That's who he is. I said, that's who he is. Praise God. I never read one time in the Word of God where he just walked by somebody that needed a miracle and left them sitting there in the dust. I never read one time in the Word of God, amen, where he just walked right on by the needy and left them sitting with their needs. But every time somebody reached out to him, every time he saw somebody that needed a miracle, he reached out and spoke to them. He reached out and touched them. He did what they needed done. And he's no different tonight. I said he's no... Yeah, man, don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, you've come service after service after service and nothing's changed and nothing's happened. That's the devil lying to you, because that's not the God I serve. The God I serve wants to do it. The God I serve delights in doing that. The God I serve is looking for a chance, looking for an opportunity to help somebody. Yes, he is. And so, yeah, man, she said within herself, if I can just get to him, everything's going to be all right. After 12 years of trying everything else, she said, if I can just get to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. So while everybody else was just living life, while everybody else, see, man, had nothing like that on their mind, there was a lady, well, hallelujah, that got up one morning with the sole purpose of finding Jesus and getting close enough to touch him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You got to understand, not only was she weak, not only was she sick, not only had she dealt with this physical problem for 12 years, but according to the law of their day, she was also unclean. Anywhere she went, then people disdained her because she was unclean. And in that culture, in that time, among that group of people, they looked at people like her as if God was judging. Even the disciples of Jesus Christ, when they walked by the blind man that had been blind from birth, they said, who sinned, him or his parents? That was the disciples of Jesus. They all had that judgmental spirit and attitude. They said, God's mad at them. This woman's lived 12 years like this. God's judging her for something. Even Job's friend said, God's mad at you. They had no clue. God was happy with him. That's why it happened. Maybe we'll preach about that sometime. Amen. Hallelujah. So here this lady was living with not only the pain and the physical sickness, but that stigma, and everybody looked at her. Ooh, stay away from her. Don't touch her. You got to understand, if they sat down anywhere she had sat, they were unclean. Do you realize what they had to go through to get cleansed? They had to wash their clothes. They had to wash their bodies. They were unclean till the evening. People said, no, I got things to do today. I can't go home and sit home and wash my clothes and go through all that. I've got things to do. Stay away from me. So she was an outcast. Yes, she was. She lived 12 years that way. And she said, I don't care what happens. I don't care what the law says. I don't care who looks at me. My. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, when it gets bad enough, you'll do whatever it takes. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I said, when you get desperate enough, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She said, I don't care who looks at me funny. I don't care what happens. I'm going to go find Jesus tomorrow. That's what's on my, amen, calendar for tomorrow, is to find Jesus. And she got up that morning and she got dressed. And she said, I'm going to find Jesus today. While everybody else was just going about their day and going to work and doing this and that, one woman got up and said, I'm going to find Jesus. And I'm going to touch him when I find him. Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible says that, amen, when she got there, the throng was there surrounding him. She could have said, well, that's it. I can't get to him. I'm going to go home. I can't touch anybody. I'm unclean. It'll make them unclean. They're going to be mad at me. There's no way. I'll have to try to go another day, but uh-uh. Not when you come on purpose. Well, praise God. You see, if you don't come on purpose, anything can turn you back. Anything can make you go back home. Anything can turn you around, but somebody that comes on purpose with a goal in mind. Hallelujah. Anybody come to church on purpose tonight? Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you just here because it's Wednesday night and you're supposed to be in church? Or did you come tonight saying, if I can just get to the house of God, if I can just get in that place, and if I can just touch Jesus, I know this is going to be taken care of. I know He's going to help me. I know He's going to talk to me. I know He's going to touch. If I can just get to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. She said, oh, it doesn't matter that the crowd is surrounding Him. It doesn't matter that I don't have the strength to do, amen, what I need to do, but I'm going to do it because, amen, I came on purpose. I came to touch Jesus, and I'm not going home until I've got to Him and touched Him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, it's the devil's goal. It's the devil's agenda. It's the devil's plan to say you can't touch Him. Amen. There's too many things surrounding Him. There's too many obstacles. There's no way you can get to Him. You might as well wait till Sunday morning. You might as well wait till next week. You might as well wait till another date. Amen. Because you can't touch Him, amen, in this kind of atmosphere, in this kind of condition. It's just not the right time tonight. Amen. But she said, I got up this morning with the sole purpose of getting to Jesus, and I'm not going to go back home until I've touched Him. I got dressed with the goal in mind of getting to Jesus, and I'm not turning around empty-handed. He's my hope. He's my help. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. The Bible says that they were surrounding Him. They were thronging Him so much they were bumping into Him. But it wasn't on purpose. You see the difference in touching Jesus accidentally and touching Jesus on purpose. There's a big difference. Amen. They were, help me out. Amen. This is a two-person throng right here. They were so crowded, they were bumping into Him, walking down the road. It was so thick, crowded with people, and they kept bumping into one another. But here come a little lady, pressing her way through. Amen, all y'all boys can help me. Amen. I don't know, I'm not social distancing. Am I in trouble? I can't get used to this new. I'm sorry. If y'all not comfortable with it, y'all just get away from me. Amen. I bet y'all still play basketball or whatever. Amen. It's kind of hard to social distance doing that. And she came pressing her way through the crowd. And they were surrounding Him so much that they were bumping in. But she pressed her way through. And she got there. And she reached out. I don't know if it was the very bottom or if it was the edge of His. I don't know what. But she reached out and she touched the hem of His garment. And the Bible says, immediately. It doesn't take Jesus all day. It doesn't take Jesus a week. It doesn't take Jesus a 12-step program. It doesn't take Him a month or a year, but immediately when she reached out and touched Him in faith, immediately what had dogged her and bothered her and plagued her for 12 years was gone. Oh, hallelujah. Can I preach to somebody right now? Amen. I don't care how long you've dealt with it. I don't care how long it's bothered you. I don't care how long it's hung around your neck. I don't care how long it's plagued your mind. In one service, in one touch from Jesus, it can be gone. It can be gone, never to be remembered again. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm going to tell you, when you touch Him on purpose, you're going to know. You can be seated, and when you touch Him on purpose, He's going to know. Oh, hallelujah. I don't see Him turning around and saying, who touched me? As they bumped into Him. But the moment that a little lady reached out and just touched His clothes, you and I would have never known it happened. But the Bible says Jesus knew immediately. Somebody just touched me on purpose. He turned around and said, who? We read it. He said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? And the disciples looked at Him like He was crazy. Can I say this without being disrespectful? That's kind of the attitude they had. What are you talking about? This fella just hit me and I just rammed into you a minute ago. Who touched your clothes? He said, oh no. Can I paraphrase just a little bit? Somebody just touched me on purpose. I felt it when you hit me, but you didn't hit me on purpose. Oh, my, my, my. Hallelujah. You can be in here tonight and you can say, well, I felt Jesus. But it was just an accidental touch because I was there. I was walking with him in the service and things were happening and things were just going. And I bumped into the Lord while I was there. Woo, it felt good. Amen. But you're not going to leave the same way that this lady left when she said, no, it wasn't no accident that I reached out and touched him on purpose because I needed something from him. And Jesus said, no, I felt virtue go from me. Somebody touched me on purpose. And when she heard him and he had stopped the procession there, amen, she came and said, it was me. And he said, your faith has made you whole. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know you good folks here tonight. I don't know everybody in this place. I'm meeting some of you probably for the first time. Amen. But somebody's here tonight that needs something from God. Hallelujah. I'm not a prophet tonight. I don't claim to be. Amen. But in a group this size, amen, somebody's here tonight that needs something from God. And you can sit here and say, well, that was good. We went to church and felt the Lord. And you can go home and you still got that same issue that you had Sunday, that you had last week, that you had last month, maybe even last year. And it's in the back of your mind. Amen, but you keep dealing with it because maybe the devil's lied to you and said it's just something you're going to have to learn how to deal with, live with. But tonight we're in the presence of the Lord. I don't know how to say this any different than what I've already said it, but I just believe every time we come together to the house of God that the Lord's here and the Lord's here to do a work. I'll be quick and I'll be done in just a few moments, and I mean that. I'm not long-winded. Amen. You'll find that out hopefully. But I read in another place in the Word of God, and I have the passage here, but I'm not going to read it all. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 17 down through verse 25, the Bible tells about another time. When Jesus was in a house, he was teaching. It was church time, if you will, and Jesus was there. What a privilege to be able to sit and listen to Jesus teach. And the Bible says that the house was packed plumb full, and that all kinds of religious people were there. Doctors, Pharisees, they were all there gathered together to hear this great teacher teach. And I read that the scripture says the power of the Lord was present to heal them, plural. So I don't know how many people were there that needed healing, but there was quite a few there that needed healing. But I don't read of anybody reaching out during the service and saying, Jesus, would you please touch me? Jesus, would you please heal me? I don't know why, but they just sat there listening. They sat there never asking the Lord for a touch when they needed a touch. Maybe it's because they weren't there on purpose. Maybe they were just there because they heard Jesus was going to be there and they wanted to hear a good teacher teaching. And here they were. But there was a man that had the palsy that said, if I can just get to Jesus, he can make me whole. I can't get to him by myself. You know, sometimes we can't get to him by ourselves. We've got to have somebody help us. You know, it's all right to swallow our pride and say, brother, would you help me? I got to touch Jesus. Pride's a killer. Pride will destroy you. If you ever get to the place where you can't ask for help, you're not going to make it. Oh, hallelujah. But this man couldn't even walk and couldn't even get to Jesus by himself, said, "Would you please help me?" He had four friends that had enough love for him and enough faith that if they could get him to Jesus, everything was going to be all right. He said, can I just paraphrase a little bit? Just if you get me to church. If you can just get me to church and I can get to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. And so the Bible says they came carrying him, and no doubt they couldn't go very fast, so they was late to church. But they didn't let that stop them. Well, praise God. They said, "I'm going to go anyway. We're late, but we're going to go anyway. We're late, buddy, but we're not turning around and going back home just because we're late. We're going to go ahead and go on to church." Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they carried him to the church, to the house where Jesus was. When they got there, they said, "We can't get in. It was packed out. The doors, there was no way they could get in the doors, so maybe they went around to the window. No, can't get in. There's no way to get in. Standing room only." And so they said, "Sorry, man. We did everything we can do. Let's go back home." Not when you come on purpose. Not when you come on purpose. Oh, hallelujah. He said, "We got all the way here, and I'm not going to let this obstacle stop me. We made it all the way here." Oh, hallelujah. I know Jesus is in there. I know he's there. And I'm not going to let this man stop me from getting to Jesus. I don't know who said it first, but somebody said, "Hey, let's go up on the roof. We can rip a hole in the roof big enough." How many of us would do that? A couple of you. He said, "You know, this ain't my house. But if we get up on that roof, I imagine we can get a hole in there and let you down." There wasn't no little hole. You got to understand. Even if he was a short man, he was laying down on a bed. I don't think they tied him up and put him down feet first. That's a big hole by any standard. And they said, "All right, whatever I've got to do." Because when you come on purpose, you're going to do whatever you got to do. Well, praise God. You know, when you don't come on purpose, it's easy just to say, "Oh, well, maybe next time." Well, hallelujah. Somebody might be sitting here tonight and they say, "Well, I didn't get my touch tonight, but maybe next Sunday." It's no big deal. If you didn't come on purpose, that's the way that it is. I didn't get what I needed from God tonight, but oh, well, I'll try next time. But oh, when you come on purpose. I said, when you come on purpose, when you've come saying, "No, I've got to touch Jesus tonight. I've got to touch Jesus tonight. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I need something right now. I cannot wait until next time. I may not have another time. I may not have another opportunity." We used to sing a song, "I think I praise the Lord while I have a chance, because I may not have the chance anymore. I think I'll touch Jesus while I can. I may not have a tomorrow, Brother Reed. I may not have a Sunday. I need him tonight. I need him tonight. I need him right now. I came on purpose and I'm not leaving empty-handed." I'm going to tell you, when you come on purpose, you have some determination. And while everybody else was sitting there and needed a touch from Jesus themselves, they didn't get it because they didn't come on purpose. But here's four old boys crawled up on the roof, started ripping a hole in the roof. I'm sure that the service stopped real quick. Hey, man, you can be seated. If those ceiling tiles started moving over right above y'all's heads and that dust started trickling down on top of your head, I wouldn't have no more control over this service at all. For one thing, I'd be stopping and looking too. Everybody'd be looking up. What in the world? Somebody'd be getting mad. Who is ripping a hole in our roof?
And that's probably what happened. And Jesus stopped his teaching and everybody's looking up. What are you doing? Screaming and hollering. Get out off there, you crazies. But they just kept on tearing. I'm not going to let anything stop me. We've got a goal. We know where Jesus is and we're going to get you to Jesus. And they tore the hole big enough to let him down. They let this man down right in front of Jesus. Oh, praise God. You know what Jesus is looking for tonight? As somebody that'll just be honest enough to say, I need a touch from him. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus and to touch him. I'm not going to let people stop me. I'm not going to let things stop me. I'm not going to let situations stop me. I'm not going to let the calendar stop me. I'm not, whatever. I'm not going to let it hinder me. But I'm in the presence of Jesus. I know he's here. I know he's here. And if I can just touch him. The Bible says while he was there and he wanted to touch and heal them. I'm going to tell you, what's happening right now is very imperative. The preaching of the Word of God, we must have it. We can't be saved without it. But our pre-service prayer, our worship and singing, our everything we do, even the preaching, that's not the end of what God wants to do. Through all of it, the Lord is looking through the crowd and saying, I really want to touch somebody. I really want to put my hands on somebody. How many times do we come to the house of God and we pray and we worship and we sing and we sit and listen to the preaching and we walk out the doors and we don't have our needs met and our miracle hasn't happened because we didn't come on purpose and we didn't let him touch us and we didn't reach out and really get a hold of him like we need to. There was the religious folks all sitting there needing healing in their bodies, needing healing in their minds. And the Lord was teaching, but he was looking, can I help somebody? Is there anybody that's willing to just say, hey, Lord, would you touch me? I really need a miracle right now. And he was scanning the crowd while he was teaching, and nobody came forward and nobody reached out to him. But a man that couldn't even get in and a man that couldn't even get to him on his own come down through the ceiling. And the Lord said, this is what I've been looking for all night. This is what I've been wanting to do all day, right here. Everything up to this point has just kind of been preliminary. I've been looking for somebody that wants a touch from me. Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible said when he looked down, you know, this man came for his healing. He didn't come for anything else. He came for his healing. But Jesus looked down at him and said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. He came for his healing, but he left with way more than he came for. When you come on purpose and you push your way through and you don't let things stop you, amen, you're going to leave with more than you came for. Oh, praise God. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord will do far more than you ever dreamed if you'll push your way through and you'll come on purpose. He said, your sins are forgiven you. And then everybody got mad about it. God help us not to get mad when a sinner walks through the door and God stops everything to touch that sinner. Don't get upset. I'm not saying you will. I don't even hardly know you folks, but don't get upset. Amen. If our program gets a little bit messed up because somebody, amen, comes so hungry for God that they come busting through the door, run down to the altar and say, Jesus, I need you. And Jesus stops what he's doing. They got mad. And Jesus said, hey, by the same power that I forgive sins, I'm going to tell this man, get up, take up your bed and go home. And he left walking, carrying that bed. Because he came on purpose. Let's stand. Praise God. Anybody come on purpose tonight? Anybody come with your mind made up tonight? I've got to get to the house of God. Hallelujah. I know we've got a lot of things going on, and this world's just in turmoil right now. And my. Amen. There's all kinds of things happening. Maybe we've got questions in our mind tonight, but have we stopped long enough to think about what we need from the Lord? Have we considered our needs? We considered that Jesus has the power. Not only does He have the power, but He wants to. I read about a leper that came to Jesus, and can I just put it in our language, in our terms? He said, "If you want to, you can make me clean." He knew he could do it. He knew he was able to do it. But he didn't know if he wanted to or not. He said, "Jesus, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." Jesus didn't bat an eye. He didn't even take a moment to think about it. He just said, "I will. Be thou clean." Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's here tonight that needs a touch from God. And we know He can. We know He has the power to. Sometimes we struggle with, well, I don't know if Jesus wants to do that tonight or not. I don't know if this is the right night. I don't know if this is the right service. I'm just going to answer that question for you right now. He wants to. Why would He wait until Sunday? Why would He wait until next week or next month? Jesus wants to. Jesus wants to. He wants to do it right now. I'm telling you, if you come with faith in your heart and reach out to Him in all sincerity and faith, pushing doubt aside, say, "Jesus, I came on purpose." Maybe you didn't come on purpose tonight, but while I've been preaching, something has touched you and said, "Hey, I can go up to that altar on purpose. And I can touch Jesus on purpose. And if I do, He's going to touch me back. He's going to help me. He's going to work. He's going to do it." Come on, come on, come on. Don't leave empty-handed tonight. Don't leave with doubt in your mind tonight. The Lord's already in this house. He's already reaching out. The Lord's already reaching out right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't have to leave here. Amen. You don't have to leave here the same. You don't have to leave here the same. I don't care if it's been 12 years. I don't care if it's been a decade. I don't care if it's been a week or a month or a year. It doesn't matter to God. He's not lost any power. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Tonight's my night. Tonight's my night. Tonight's my night. Because Jesus is here, and I'm here, and I can touch Him. And when I touch Him, something's going to change. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how strong the grip is on you, whatever it may be that's got a hold of you. Oh, hallelujah. It could be physical sickness. It could be, man, something in your mind tormenting you. I don't know. It doesn't matter what it is tonight, but He's able to do it. He's able to deliver. He's able to heal. Oh, hallelujah.